You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Let's go!
I don't want to stop. I love it. I love One Direction. Right, a storm is brewing over the upcoming One Direction concert at the Odyssey Arena. And it is such an interesting, fascinating story, this. Sisters Sarah and Lisa Kelly are deaf. And they've booked tickets for the concert. And they wrote to Aiken Promotions, who are the promoter. And they asked them to provide a singer on stage for their disability. A signer on stage for their disability. And they said that Aikens would have no problem making the concert accessible for wheelchairs. So why, therefore, would they not provide a signer for deaf people? Well, Aikens, the concert promoter, have said no, they're not doing it. I've been speaking to Sarah and her sister Lisa before we came on air via an interpreter. They told me what happened.
Well, we love One Direction. We'd ask the Odyssey to provide us with a sign language interpreter so that we would know what the boys are saying in between the songs. We know the songs really well. We know the lyrics. We can hear those. But in that really noisy environment, we wouldn't really be confident that we would fully understand what the boys were saying. So we asked the Odyssey if they could provide us with an interpreter. They told us no initially. Then we replied, explaining that that could be seen as discrimination. What happened was the Odyssey then passed it over to Aiken Promotions, and they told us that they didn't think an interpreter would do good enough of a job to translate everything that was being said, that they also said the venue wasn't appropriate for us to have access to an interpreter. And they had to bear in mind that they needed to make their provision accessible to everyone, and they couldn't do it for us. We weren't happy about that because they're happy to put in ramps for wheelchair users, and we were very unhappy that they said no for those silly reasons.
So I don't understand even the basics, which is if you're deaf, how can you understand singing? How do you know if One Direction are really good singers or terrible singers? Like, what are you experiencing? I don't understand.
Well, not every deaf person will not hear everything. Some deaf people can hear pretty well if they wear hearing aids. Some people are moderately deaf. Some people are severely deaf. So I can hear the songs pretty well. I can listen to music. I read the lyrics and connect the lyrics to the sounds that I hear. So, and I also practice the boys' songs. So I think they are really good singers anyway, no matter what you say.
And what about you, Sarah? Do you think they're good?
Oh, yes.
They've
won loads of awards, Stephen.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't win awards if they were rubbish singers.
And they're good-looking guys, aren't they?
Oh, yes, Lisa said, definitely, especially Harry.
So can I ask just to give me a sense of what is the extent of your disability? How deaf are you? Can you hear anything?
Well, it's Lisa here. I can hear you, Stephen. I can hear your voice. And I can understand you in this environment. But if I was in a noisy place, I probably wouldn't hear what you're saying clearly. And you can imagine at a One Direction concert, the volume and the screaming from the girls makes it really difficult for me to hear what the boys are saying. In a one-to-one situation, I can cope pretty well. Hearing aids help. And I would be lip reading you. But when we have an interpreter there, it's much better because if I miss something that you've said, then I have the opportunity to find out what you said properly through an interpreter. Sarah here, Stephen. I've worn hearing aids all my life. I then went completely deaf in my right ear, which was a major struggle for me because I've always loved music and absolutely loved One Direction. So I went for cochlear implant surgery to improve the hearing that I had because I wanted to be able to hear the way I had done before. So it means so much to me to go to this concert, and really is, I really need to see One Direction. They mean so much to me.
So Akinsale, read from some of their letter. They say there is no possibility of the signer being placed on the stage and any other location would detract from the usual impact of the performance.
It's Lisa here. Well, to be honest, they say they want it to be an inclusive environment for everyone. Yet they have no place for an interpreter, which to me is completely ridiculous. I believe they should know better. And they said that they think an interpreter dramatises it or produces a code. I don't think they've done the research properly, obviously, because an interpreter is there to translate what is said. So it's not a case that they're doing a lesser job.
Well, let me read exactly their letter. They say, our information is that even if the set list and lyrics can be provided, there is limited prospect of this ad-libbing of the act to be adequately reflected. We understand that some signers can dramatise or code such ad-libbing, but it is not always a true reflection of the performer's words. In other words, to be fair, now hold on a minute, you two. So to be fair to Akins, right? How on earth can an interpreter reflect that individual style, that individual charisma of a singer? There's no way an interpreter can do that.
It's expected of an interpreter that it's part of their job to do that. That's what they're there to do. Okay, Stephen, it's Sarah now. Interpreters are trained professionals. They've gone to university to study translation. They follow a code of conduct that says they have to interpret truly and faithfully what is being said. So whatever the boys choose to say, the interpreter has to translate what they've said. Interpreters will show the humour. They will make sure that we understand what's being said by use of facial expression. If there's a joke or something, an interpreter will convey the joke. I believe I've answered your questions accurately, and I think that shows you that you're obviously being interpreted accurately.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. Part of One Direction is about their sex appeal, isn't it? About fancying them. Now, how does a... And that's not just about looks. That's about what they sound like. So how on earth can a interpreter convey sex appeal?
Well, remember, we are working with interpreters who are listening to what's being said. They know... Okay, Sarah, right. When One Direction are on the stage, I'm watching them. Obviously, I can't hear everything, but I believe my eyes work better than my ears ever would, and I follow absolutely everything I see. So if the interpreter's in the same eye line or sight line, if they convey the joke, I can also pick up so much more from the body language of the boys. And to be honest, as a deaf person, I get that a lot better than anybody else who isn't deaf.
What does this mean to you that Akins have said no?
It's Lisa. I feel discriminated against. My language and my culture has been discriminated against. Saying no to us has made me feel like they're not treating us the same as everybody else. And I'm really devastated by that. And it's Sarah. I got quite emotional about it because whenever we got the letter, I already basically knew it wasn't going to be good news. I just felt it was not going to be any good. But when I read the reasons that they gave, I got very angry.
Why?
Because it was so ridiculous how they explained it. To say it's an impossibility to us, I mean, the person who wrote that response isn't deaf, doesn't know anything about how interpreters work, doesn't know about deaf people's culture, what we're like as people, our language, and that sign language is actually a language. It's an official recognised language. So Lisa here, the letter never mentioned British Sign Language once. They talked about a signer. It's obvious they didn't see that we were asking for access to our language. To say no because there's no place to position an interpreter, etc., and the fact that they thought they were offering us reasonable adjustment because of the set list and the lyrics made us realise they don't know what they're talking about. We know the boys' lyrics.
Well, when Aitken say there's no possibility of the signer being placed on the stage, let's get a reality check here. There's plenty of room on that stage for a signer. When they say there's no possibility, it means that they do not want a signer in the road of the band. There is a possibility of a signer being on stage. They just don't want them there. Maybe they think it wouldn't look right.
Yeah. It's Sarah. Yes, in America, Stephen, they always have interpreters for concerts. I mean, it's quite regular that that happens. Jay-Z has had interpreters on stage. It seems to happen okay in America. And it never has seemed to have been an issue. I can't understand why the issue is happening now to us. It's Lisa. We're actually going to see 1D in Cardiff in June. And we did ask that arena to provide us with an interpreter, which they said they would do. But the only issue is they want us to move to seated, whereas we had bought standing tickets. So they think they've done some reasonable adjustment, I believe, for us, but I don't think it's good enough. We still are being treated differently because we are going to have to move from where we wanted to be. I believe we'll end up being put away to the side where it makes it more difficult for us to see the boys because we have to watch the interpreter.
Tell me this, because we're just running out of time. You're going up to the politicians today. Be careful with them now. I have to deal with them boys every day of the week.
Good advice, thank you.
What are you going up the storm to say to them about this?
It's Sarah. We are going to bring this up, obviously, this afternoon. I'm actually representing Action Deaf Youth. We're going to speak to our MPs about education, about health and about access for deaf people to those provisions. So we're going to have a question and answer session with them. So we're going to be doing a fair bit of talking about that today.
What would you say to Aitkens this morning and to One Direction?
It's Lisa. I would say we need to raise more awareness of the need for deaf people to have access to this kind of stuff. We keep being told no as deaf people. I can't believe in the 21st century that's still happening to us. And it's Sarah. I would say to Aitken Promotions, please really, really, really think carefully about this decision. It is a terrible decision and it's the worst decision they've probably ever made. It's Lisa. We've had loads of support from deaf people. There's been about 200 shares now on Facebook from our post, which is fantastic support. That proves that deaf people understand the struggle that we have with this and how they have to deal with barriers every single day of their lives.
Final question. Who do you fancy most in One Direction?
Harry. Harry, we love you. It's Sarah. I sometimes go between Harry and then it can be Niall.
It's a pity you're not going to be there, isn't it?
What do you mean we won't be there?
Oh, you're going even if you don't get your signer? You're going to go?
Oh, yes. Yes, we... It's Sarah. We will make sure we're not giving up on this. We will make sure that we do get an interpreter. We're doing everything we possibly can.
All right.
This isn't our only avenue, Stephen. We're going to fight this all the way.
I see. I can see that. I can see that. Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Right. Well, there's a very interesting response to this morning. Sounds like they're two spoiled brats, says one texter this morning, getting to One Direction concerts. Shocking demands from these people. Well, really? I'm sorry the girls are deaf, but come on, this is nonsense, says another. They should go and enjoy the concert as much as they can without demanding a signer. 08459 555 678 on the other side of it. Stephen, these young girls should be given every opportunity to enjoy the concerts. Shame on Aitkens for holding back on these girls' needs. Here's Patrick. Morning, Patrick. What do you think?
Stephen, I think those two girls are being totally unreasonable. Because, first of all, would they be willing to pay extra to pay for that signer? And it's not Aitken's fault, you know.
Well, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say a wheelchair user should pay for ramps?
A wheelchair user.
Don't be ridiculous. User. Why should they pay extra for someone else to accommodate their disability? It's for us all to make sure that disabled people are welcome and that venues are accessible. Without people having to pay more. Are you serious?
Yes, but that is extra. I mean, that is extra on top of, I mean, the two people are deaf. First of all, they can't hear the music. You know, they're going to a concert. They can't hear the music. Now, I would love to climb Mount Everest, but I don't expect people to put scaffolding a whole way up for me to get on. They've got to realise that.
Well, you're not disabled.
There are limitations to what people can do for disabled people.
But you're not disabled.
I mean, I know I'm not disabled, but there are limitations to what disabled people can do. I mean, disabled people can't drive a Formula One motor car or things like that. You know, that's unreasonable to expect a company to hire, they have to pay out extra costs for a signer for people who are deaf, who can't hear the music anyway when they go to a concert. You know, I don't understand where they're coming from.
That's why this is such an interesting case this morning. Loads of your calls coming in. Kieran in Limavady, what do you think, Kieran?
Good morning, Stephen. I think that the wee girls, God pity them that they're deaf. But I
don't think they're looking pity.
No, but I suffer from emphysema, Stephen. And I haven't, the last concert I was at was an NXS concert in 1994. I would love to have went to see Johnny Cash concerts and stuff. But you couldn't get people to put on blowers for me or air freshener whenever you're out among a crowd. So to breathe, it's very difficult. So, as I say, let people enjoy themselves. I don't think that people should be standing on a stage, nor I wouldn't be asking for blowers to blow down to my face to give me air while I'm watching a concert.
Okay. Listen, thank you. Fionnuala Meredith, the commentator with us today. What do you think, Fionnuala?
I think it's a really interesting case,
isn't
Stephen,
it?
And I feel I've learnt a lot, actually, just hearing those two young women
so
talk.
So did I.
Oh, yeah, really surprising. Not something, to be honest, I had ever considered before.
Because I'll tell you even from the outset, and sorry to interrupt, but the interpreter that was in here, the two girls, Lisa and Sarah, were sitting at the right-hand side of the studio. Their interpreter was the left, and I was looking at the interpreter because she was speaking. And Sarah and Lisa said, "Hold on, Stephen. Look at us. We're the ones speaking to you." Yeah. And even from even that basic element, I learned this morning.
Yeah. I think we all have a lot to learn with these kinds of cases. I suppose, you know, what really did strike me, well, a number of things struck me, but was that, first of all, their extreme frustration at the ignorance that they, you know, that they come across in terms of people, how people react to them and their needs. But I suppose the other thing that really jumped out at me was instantly the use of this language like discrimination. And then they said they felt devastated. They were discriminated against. This is the worst decision that Aitken's ever made. Now, I completely get their frustration. I'm just not sure if that's the right way to approach it, because I suppose, to be fair to Aitkins, they are within their rights. They aren't legally obligated to do this. And to my mind, a better approach might be to work with promoters. And as the young women themselves say, to raise awareness, to educate, to help people understand, to turn it into a confrontation, to my mind, isn't really the best way forward.
You see, we've checked it out because the girl said that there are signers at concerts in America, and that is true. We've been checking it out, and Aiken said in their statement, it is impractical to provide a signer for pop and rock concerts due to the speed of the songs. Well, how do they do it in America? It's impractical to do it, say Aikens, because of the positioning of the singer. Well, why? It's impractical to do it because of problems communicating when there are rapid changes with low-level dark lighting effects. How do they do it in America? And they say, however, acknowledging that we have an obligation to make a reasonable adjustment, Aikens say, we've offered to request a copy of the set list and lyrics from the tour production team and provide these to the customers.
Yeah, and I know also that they've been able to put in signers in Glastonbury, for example, last year, and that worked really well. There's a charity that actually specialises in advancing the kind of the needs and the rights of deaf people in live music gigs, and that sounds great to me. I mean, and the more that can be done, the better, in terms of just expanding that ability of people to be able to go and encounter and experience the whole thing. But I suppose, yeah, just what saddens me a little bit is the instant recourse to the language of discrimination. I don't think that's particularly helpful in this instance.
We have a signer in church. They do not get in the way of the congregation. Good for them, says one texter. Stephen, as someone who has hearing problems, this is stupid. A concert's all about noise. All they will do is turn the band against them. Do blind people go to art galleries, says another texter. Why didn't they buy a third ticket and bring an interpreter with them? I have poor sight. Should Aikens have to put me to the front, asks a Belfast listener. Are they trying to wangle front row seats, asks someone else. As soon as these two girls started to use the word discrimination like a blunt instrument, they lost my sympathy, says another texter this morning. Claire Lavery, morning to you, Claire.
Morning, Stephen.
Thanks for talking to us, Claire. You're from Action on Hearing Loss. Quite a few people saying that they're not supporting the girls this morning, that this is not about discrimination. This is about practicalities.
To be honest, Stephen, I'm quite shocked at some of the views that have come into your show this morning. It goes to show that the general public are not aware of the legislation that exists to protect the rights of people who have a hearing loss or who are deaf. So this is not a ridiculous request that these girls have dreamt up. It's not their job to bring an interpreter with them or to pay money for an interpreter. There is legal protection under the Disability Discrimination Act for the rights of deaf people, and that includes access to interpretation. The issue here seems to be that Aiken, in their interpretation of the law, have seen that their reasonable adjustment in this case would be to provide the set list and the lyrics. Sarah and Lisa's point is the conversation that happens between a band and its audience in between songs is the bit that they're not going to get, and that's what they really would need the interpreter for. So I think it has to come down to some kind of mutual agreement between Aiken and the customers, Lisa and Sarah, in this case, as to what's reasonable.
So are you saying that at every single concert that's on anywhere, there has to be an interpreter?
No, the difficulty is that the Law of Disability Discrimination Act in its current form is quite weak. It doesn't offer specific provisions for deaf people, so it doesn't actually specify that you must put an interpreter on stage. It does say that service providers must make an adjustment to the way in which they provide their service so as not to discriminate. And our guidance on that would give people information around sign language interpreters or electronic note takers or the use of plain English.
I'm sorry, and maybe this is my naivety, but can hand gestures, hand signals through an interpreter really convey the individual charisma of pop stars?
Well, it's not hand gestures. It is a recognised language, as the girls say. It has its own grammar, its own syntax. It has been around for a long, long time.
But those hand gestures... Sorry, that language is based on hand gestures, isn't it?
A combination of hand gestures, of an interpretation of the language. They translate it from English into British Sign Language, which has a different grammatical structure, and combined with facial expressions and the context of the conversation. It's a very, very skilled job. People are very professionally trained that do it. So they can, I mean, Patricia, the interpreter you have in the studio this morning, I think very eloquently translated what both Sarah and Lisa were saying, and that's an example of the very high standards that interpreters
have. What do you think, Fionnuala?
All this makes sense to me, and I think it would be fantastic if there was, you know, kind of needs were able to be accommodated. I just keep coming back to this idea of not turning it into a fight about equality, a fight about discrimination, because it seems to me where those advances have been made, for example, at Glastonbury, it's been a conversation. It's been about, yeah, how can we do this better? Yeah. So to turn it immediately into a fight and say, no, we're being discriminated against, to me, it just doesn't have the right sound to it.
Tommy in White Abbey. Morning, Tommy.
Stephen.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Stephen, I went to a show recently there at the Jersey Nights in the Opera House, and there was a singer on the stage.
Was there?
I've never seen it before, and I've seen loads of shows, London and Belfast and everywhere, and the guy was so good at doing what he was doing. Yeah. I didn't know what
we're
he
hearing
was
here this morning. Apparently, saying. We're hearing here this morning. Apparently, the Grand Opera House have signers on their stage,
yes,
quite often for certain performances.
Yes, Stephen,
here's Campbell.
Jersey Nights, you know.
Yeah, morning, Campbell.
Not the Jersey boy.
Morning.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Just wanted to make a point about whether it was a cost issue for Aiken or whether it was a health and safety issue for Aiken, not to to put a signer on stage for these ladies. I find it incredible that somebody doesn't want to take money from a paying customer.
Well, that's not what Aikens are saying.
Whether they enjoy the show or not has nothing to do with Aiken to make that decision for them. If their interpretation is wrong. That's up to the person who's interpreting.
Well, now, look, a concert promoter has to look at the whole picture, don't they now, Campbell? Let's be fair to Aikens here this morning.
Absolutely.
And they're saying that it simply would not be practical to be putting a signer on the stage. There's no possibility of it.
What's the impracticality of putting one person at the side of a stage?
Well, they say it would detract from the usual impact of the performance. What does that mean?
Detract? I watched an Australian comedian a few weeks ago who had a signer on stage signing all his jokes, rude words, everything, absolutely interpreted everything. And it was one of the best concerts I have seen for a stand-up comedian. Hearing impaired people in the audience had a ball.
That sentence in itself from Aikens is really, really important and interesting. How, Aikens, do you think a signer in any other location other than the stage, so they're not talking about even on the stage here, they're saying a signer anywhere else would detract from the usual impact of the performance. What does that mean? How would it detract? Would a signer get in the road? Would a signer take the look off the what do they mean?
I've never ever watched a program which signers have been on and being detracted from the show by the signer because I am not hearing impaired.
Would Aikens feel comfortable saying a wheelchair detracts from the usual impact of the performance?
I think it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous statement from them. To actually say that it would take away from the show is ridiculous. You may say that the security people on the front of the stage or wherever they may be around the audience would detract from the show because they have bright vests on, detracting from whatever show may be going on.
What we will do this morning is we will ring Aikens right now, and ask them what they mean by someone that's there to help disabled people would detract from the impact of the performance. We will ask them what they meant by that. In what way would they detract?
I think it's incredible.
Fionnuala, we need to, again, because we need to reflect the real picture coming in here. There are lots and lots of people in favour of Aikens this morning.
Yeah, I think that's interesting in itself. And I think it comes back to this issue of how we discuss these things. Because once you start invoking the language of discrimination and saying, I've been discriminated, this is a matter of inequality, I think that turns a lot of people off. Whereas if it had been approached in a different way by the young women, perhaps getting the backing of these charities that do campaign on these issues, then perhaps there would have been a better result. If you turn it into a fight, and if you start using very emotive language, then I think that polarises people.